ਤੁਸੀਂ SBS ਪੰਜਾਬੀ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋ। ਹੋਰ ਜਾਣਕਾਰੀਆਂ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕਰੋ sbs.com.au/punjabi ਉੱਤੇ।
SBS Radio.
We have here in our studios Tarang Chawla, who I think most of our audience knows was the Young Victorian of the Year in 2017 and the finalist for Young Australian of the Year in the same year. He's known as a family violence activist and, of course, an advocate for better mental health. But the great thing is I see a very different Tarang without his beard and a full flowing moustache for the month of November. So welcome, Tarang, to SBS Punjabi.
Thank you, Manpreet ji. So yes, I do have a moustache at the moment, which is, as you said, unusual for me because I usually, like many men of Punjabi origin, normally am sporting a beard and have a strong dislike for shaving. But I think Movember, particularly raising funds and awareness for men's health issues around mental health, prostate cancer, testicular cancer, is such a worthwhile and important cause, you know. So for me, it was almost a no-brainer, pardon the pun, around mental health, a no-brainer to do this, to grow a moustache and raise money. And we're, as a group in a team that I'm involved in, raising many thousands of dollars in honour of all men from the South Asian community who experience mental health issues and go through difficult times. And I know as a community, we've been rocked this year by the needless and senseless deaths by suicide of a number of men from the broader South Asian community. And I think that given my work in the anti-violence space, it's so important to talk about you know, men's mental health and men's well-being as well.
Now that you mentioned that we have lost many men from our community in the wider South Asian community as well to suicide, I know that you've had a very personal brush with it. So can we just talk a little bit about your own experience with it? I know it's incredibly difficult to do that, and I commend you that you've been willing to talk about it. So just tell us a little bit more about it.
Earlier this year, I attempted to take my own life, Manpreet ji. I was someone who had been living with the effects of mental ill health and mental health issues for a very long time, without always fully acknowledging and grasping the effect that it was having on me. And part of that was because I grew up as a teenager where we weren't talking as openly about mental health issues. And my first experiences at seeking help were unfortunately ones where I didn't feel heard or I didn't feel understood by the therapist. And so I then buried those feelings deep within me. And I did what so many men from the South Asian community do, which is we tell ourselves that we're okay and we'll be fine. And one of the things that I fell into is the trap that so many men in our community fall into, which is that we want to be high achievers. We want to do great things for ourselves, for our families, and do our community proud. And what ends up happening is that sometimes we place too much emphasis on those things at the expense of looking after ourselves. And I am someone, much like, you know, everybody else. People have said to me, oh, you're so brave or you're so inspirational. But like everybody else, I'm, you know, a normal human being. And so I went through that same journey myself. And instead of seeking help earlier, for me, it got to the point of feeling in a place of such despair that I didn't think about how things could get better. Mm-hmm. I only wanted the pain to stop. And so my message to people is to always, you know, prioritize your own self-care and your own mental wellness, and don't wait for the signs of anxiety or depression or mental ill health to get to the point where they're no longer manageable, you know, and that there is no shame and no stigma in actually speaking to someone about what's going on.
Mm. We'll come back to the stigma, especially in the South Asian communities, but if I can just refer back to what you said, you actually did attempt to end your life.
Yes. Yes. So I spent time in hospital following that, and the team at Ambulance Victoria who attended the scene, the first responders were absolutely fantastic. The nurses at the hospital in the emergency were fantastic. And, you know, one of the things that I learned through that experience is that we're very fortunate to live in a country like Australia. You know, for all of the failings of many systems, we're still very lucky that there are support services available and that it exists in a country like Australia. It's also important, I think, to realize that you need not be an outlier. You know, what I mean by that is that we can't always see mental health issues, you know, and by the time that some mental health issues become visible, it's often a case of either it's too late or that we're in the category of people who, you know, are going to need, you know, very comprehensive support and help, you know. And so for the majority of the population, you know, particularly the South Asian population, we're all going about our day-to-day lives, much like I was, but without realizing the true extent of the suffering that we're going through or the pain that we're experiencing. And so I think it's very important for people in our communities in particular, to acknowledge, you know, the realities that we live with, to not suppress our own understanding of stigma, our own internal stigma. You know, in my case, that was more so than just the community. It was my own self-talk, you know, that I kept telling myself, oh, it's fine. It's going to be okay. And I thought it was normal. You know, I thought it was normal, for example, and I've written about my experiences extensively on social media. And I wrote recently, I thought it was normal to want to stay in bed all day with the blinds down, you know, and have this crippling fear of going outside. I thought it was normal to be terrified of everything. I thought it was normal to have such overwhelming stress and anxiety, you know, when I had things coming up that, you know, the feeling of my heart pounding outside my chest. I told myself, oh, this is normal. And there are forms of stress that can be beneficial. You know, if we have a big exam coming up or we have a big assignment at work or, you know, a big occasion, there can be stress that sometimes helps us perform. You know, much like a sports person talks about the stress that they have before a big cricket match or a big sporting match. But then there's also a form of anxiety and depression that goes far beyond that. You know, and I think that's where it's very important. And given that I have a public platform, to use that to speak candidly about my experiences in the hope that someone listening will hear it and think maybe there's some commonality with what I experience. You know, and to that end, there are so many amazing support services available. And I might mention some now, actually, for the listeners. You know, there's Lifeline, Beyond Blue, Sane Australia, Headspace, and for men in particular, the Men's Line, you know, that they can call. And there's also the one thing that I think is so important, not only in the South Asian diaspora, but broader communities around Australia from diverse backgrounds, that interpreters are available at all of the above. So anybody who contacts them, whether it's through online or by phone, has the option to communicate with someone in language. You know, that wasn't something that I needed necessarily, but I think it's very important for those who are doing it tough that they have those options available. And I think it's something that we don't talk about often enough.
Sure. And coming from you, I mean, Tarang, you have a large public profile. People do look up to you. They've been doing that for a long time. But it was interesting to hear you say the pressures that we feel that, you know, you want to perform really well. So I'm just trying to unpack why you got to the stage where you almost tipped over. Was it the pressure you put on yourself? Was it also the label that you were trying to live up to, that you have to become this activist and do these big things that change the world? Or was it the loss of your sister, which still resonates with so many of us? Or did it just hark back to something well before that and something that wasn't addressed?
It's such a fantastic question, Manpreetji, because there are so many factors. You know, there is obviously, of course, there is some degree of pressure that one feels, you know, when you have a public standing. And from that perspective, I look at, say, for example, the Australian cricketer Glenn Maxwell, who recently spoke openly about his journey with mental health issues and his anxiety and other issues and taking time away from the game. So certainly those pressures for people who have something of a public profile exists. You know, there's also an aspect of it which relates to the loss of Nikita under violent circumstances. And we're coming up to the 5-year anniversary of her passing. And so certainly that, you know, that anniversary brings up certain emotions. But for me, it was a case of I had issues with my mental health that were probably identified when I was a late teenager, around when I started university. That's the first time I ever spoke to a psychologist. And that first experience didn't go as well for me. And so one of the things that I will say to listeners is to have the courage to persevere. Because what happened with me is that I, instead of addressing the issue at the time, I buried it. I buried it within me and I just told myself it'll be okay.
I'm a man.
And for a while, it was okay. But it's about nipping it in the bud. You know, it's about addressing the issue when it's something that can be addressed in that way, you know, through a few sessions of conducive and beneficial therapy. What happened with me was that I buried it, and then it went through waves and phases. And so the doctor sort of noticed that progressively my mood was declining, but not to the extent that it required any kind of intervention. And I think that's where many of us are still, for a number of reasons, not yet able to speak as openly about it. And so my message to people is to find it within ourselves to be able to speak about it, and those who hear the stories to listen and validate the other person's experience without judgment and with as much empathy as we can muster, because it is obviously very difficult to be a friend or a partner or to you know, live with someone who has a mental health issue. But as it's been said before, it's also one of the noblest things that someone can do is to offer compassion and kindness to somebody who is going through a difficult time, you know. So I think for me, it was a case of a number of factors that led to me making, you know, ideating and then making a decision and trying and fortunately, you know, surviving. And so from my perspective, I think, you know, had I gotten support sooner, I wouldn't have been in that position. I also think it's very important to acknowledge the individual and the illness rather than thinking of the individual as the illness. And what I mean by that is that when the doctor said to me, "Darang, you have depression, clinical depression, or what some call major depressive disorder, and what you had is a major depressive episode," I was very happy to hear that. And some people ask me, "Why were you happy to hear something like that?" They said, "You had depression." And I said, "No, I'm happy to hear that because I don't think the label defines me." You know, if you have, you know, if you break your arm, you have a broken arm. You are not your broken arm. So they told me I had depression, not that I am depression. And so I think what's really important there is for everybody to grow our understanding collectively that mental health issues are something that we often stigmatize. We label the individual as though they are the problem. But there's actually something happening in the brain, you know. And so with my condition, I do a range of things. I see a therapist regularly. I speak about what's going on. They go through certain forms of behavioral therapy. I also take medication, you know, something that in the South Asian community is so stigmatized. You know, it's so stigmatized, this idea that you would take medication. And I always find it interesting that we stigmatize within our communities, because I think it's no different to any other kind of injury.
It'll be remiss of me not to ask you how you are now.
I'm good. I'm good. I'm very good. I think, you know, one of the things for me in terms of the way I healed from the grief of my sister's murder was to speak openly about it. And to speak candidly about men's violence against women in the Punjabi community, in the Sikh and Hindu communities, how it manifests, the gender inequality and the drivers of that behavior. And going through my own lived experiences of mental health issues, I thought when I was ready, it would be important for me to be able to discuss this openly and candidly. Because I think that that stigma that we talk about, it's something we can't see. You know, stigma's an idea, it's a concept. We can't always see it, but we can feel it and we can sense it. And I think one of the ways to combat the stigma is to reframe the narrative, reframe the way we talk about mental health. So I wrote something on Facebook recently, and it said something along the lines of, if we were to physically injure ourselves, let's say I broke my leg, I would go see a doctor. They would do an x-ray, they would confirm the fracture, they would then put me in a cast. I would then have physical therapy, rehabilitation, maybe physiotherapy afterwards, with the aim that I would retain function and walk again. So there's all these steps that one takes when there's a physical injury. If someone hurts themselves physically, we don't say, "Oh, why, you know, what, you know, get over it." We don't just say, "Oh, start walking again." You know, if someone's got a broken leg, we don't say start walking again. We know that that would make no sense whatsoever. We know they need to heal. the mind is no different. And in fact, the mind is one of the most powerful, the one of the most beautiful, and also one of the most fragile parts of our bodies. Mm. And yet no different to any other organ or any other limb. And so when there is an illness of the mind, it's very important that we treat an illness of the mind as that, that we don't label the person as being defective. You know, we have this problem, I think, in our communities, which was very anxious within the South Asian community to talk about. Mm. You know, we think things like, lo kya kenge, what will they say? You know, and yet we are seeing openly the Indian cricket captain Virat Kohli coming out in support of Glenn Maxwell sharing his mental health issues and talking about the times that he and his wife Anushka Sharma have gone through moments of depression or moments of anxiety and what they did that works. And from my perspective, seeing role models of their stature and their standing, speaking openly about it, it fills me with hope. It fills me with hope that we will reach a time where someone openly speaking about their anxiety is not judged, they're not put down, but in fact, they're supported, you know, to heal.
Well, talking to you, I'm not just hopeful, I'm very, very grateful actually that you've been able to come out and speak so candidly about such a personal experience. We all know that we lose far too many men to suicide, and men are far more prone to end their lives by suicide than women are. It is that untold, unseen, untalked reality that we deal with. So it's really refreshing for someone like you, Tarang, to come out and risk being judged, as you just mentioned, that our community always is very judging. But for you, it's far more than that. So I'm very grateful to you for that.
Mental health is very complicated. I'm by no means a health professional, but as somebody who has grappled with these issues for a long time and unfortunately got to the point where I was in such a dark place and felt so isolated and alone, I would like not for other people to be in that same position. You know, because that space of darkness in your own mind, it can often be masked by smiling on the outside or putting it on. And many people feel the need to go through life, unfortunately, doing the exact same thing. You know, where their job requires it, or they don't want to let down the people around them. But what I found is that when I spoke openly about it, I had the exact opposite response. You know, and that gives me a lot of hope and optimism for the future, that we're actually at a point where within our South Asian community, we're understanding the issue, we're talking about it. And I think that, you know, as someone from the millennial generation, it's so important that we continue that conversation. You know, absolutely. Like our parents and our grandparents have taught us and instilled us with values about caring for one another and, you know, doing good for the community. And I think it's time that we do good for ourselves by looking after ourselves and each other. So my parting message to listeners would be to look at mental health like every other aspect of your health, physical, spiritual, emotional, and you know, invest in that, because there's no shame in looking after your mental health.
Tarang, I have no words of gratitude for not just sharing the personal journey that you've been on, but, you know, the light that has sprung out from those depths of darkness that you were talking about. I think that light has really shone today. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Manpriti, and thank you to the SBS listeners. I think it's an important conversation that we should regularly be having around, you know, mental health, not just obviously during Movember and when we're trying to raise awareness and funds of men's health issues, but generally year-round. And I think checking in with friends, colleagues, loved ones is something that's such a small gesture but can never go astray.
SBS Radio.
ફેસબુક ઉતે SBS પંજાબીનું લાઇક કરો, સાંજા કરો અતે આપણે વિચાર ભી પ્રગટાવો.